What's up? What's going on? How you living? It's the Frau King. What's going on, guys? This episode is sponsored by Drawn From The Mind. Nathan Baird of Drawn From The Mind has collaborated with me to bring you some super dope merchandise. If you head to whereibelongpodcast.com and click on the link that pops up as soon as the website loads, it'll bring you to another page, Nathan's page, where you have access to my merchandise, plus a bunch of the other dope-ass shit that Nathan himself makes. He makes a lot of cool stuff out of the original artwork that he creates himself, and I have entrusted him to be the creator of my, my logo, my profile pictures, all that good stuff, all the artwork you see, except for that weird vector image on YouTube. I gotta switch that up, but hopefully by the time I'm done shooting this and you hear it, that'll be changed as well. But yeah, I have collaborated with Nathan Baird, and we have bought you some super dope merchandise. If you go to the website, whereibelongpodcast.com, like I said, the pop-up happens. You click on the pop-up, it brings you to a separate page where you're going to have access to hoodies, you're going to have access to t-shirts, mugs, pillows, tapestries, all with my tapestries. Which one's the right one? Tapestries. I'm going to go with tapestries. Tapestries feels a little too proper, a little stuck up. I like tapestries. they all got my face on them, which is super cool. If you want to have something, if you want to wear something that has my giant face on it, that's where you go and get these things. Whereibelongpodcast.com. Click on the pop-up, brings you to the website, and you'll have access to the sweetest stuff with my face on it. Like I said, I even got a pillow. If you feel like you need more of me in your life, I'm not bringing these podcasts to you fast enough. You want to spend some time, I don't know, sitting on the couch, laying in bed, cuddling with a big old my face. Well, there you go. I got that for you. A lot of the stuff comes in with an option for either normal vanilla face or Frog King edition. So I'm actually wearing right now the hoodie. I got a large blue Frog King hoodie on right now. Super comfy. I love the thing. I've been wearing it for 3 days straight. Probably smells like buttholes by now, but it's great. The quality's great. It's super soft. I don't know what's up with that. Like, the inside is incredibly soft. So, like I said, head to the website, get one of those, and while you're there, you'll have access to the rest of Nathan Baird's boutique, his merchandise, his artwork, a lot of his stuff that he's created on his Instagram. He's turned into different merchandise that you can get your hands on. So check that out while you're there. This episode is with JB. It's Jay Burt of the JB podcast. Jay is expert personal trainer, and also he's heavy into video games. I know he does a lot of that. I don't know if it's streaming. We didn't really talk about it too much, but I think it's kind of where you stream yourself playing. I sound like a fucking old man. I think it's where the kids record themselves playing the, But he also has a podcast, like I said, the JB podcast, where, I mean, this dude's crushing it. He's had Michelle Waterson, the karate hottie from the UFC, on. He's had Tito Ortiz, who recently just fought Chuck Liddell in a interesting fight. But he's one of the legends of MMA, Tito Ortiz. If you don't know, if you're an MMA fan, if you're a UFC fan, you don't know who Chuck Liddell and and Tito Ortiz is, you better shut this fucking podcast off and head over to UFC Fight Pass. Do something. Go to YouTube. Watch some highlights. Jesus Christ. Get your life together. but JB was nice enough to sit down with me, and we talked about a lot of interesting stuff, and one of the things I really enjoyed that we touched on was just kind of the failures and the speed bumps and the pitfalls of trying to start a podcast when you have no prior, fame, nothing like that. There's nobody that, like me personally, before I did the podcast, I had zero internet presence. And so it's been an experience. And I am kind of fueled by the people that say that you can't get this done unless you're famous or known already in some facet. And so we talked a lot about that. You know, between he and I, we both have a good number of stories about just eating shit and falling flat on our faces trying to get this done. But yeah, it was a great conversation. I wish I could have got him for a little bit longer. Maybe next time, you know, we'll do it in the future and we can go a bit deeper. But it was great. It was a pleasure to have him on. I really appreciated him taking the time to come and talk to me. And he also works with Nathan Baird of Drawn from the Mind. So Nathan with a good old fashioned twofer. So I hope you guys really enjoy the episode. I enjoyed the episode. And you know, go check him out on the JB podcast on iTunes. And in the description, I should have a link for his link tree so you can check out everything that he does and go support him as well and listen to his episodes. Like I said, he's done episodes with the Karate Hottie and with Tito Ortiz. Go check those out. And, you know, this episode is full of some interesting stories. So I hope you guys enjoyed it. I enjoyed making it. And without any further ado, please give it up for JB.
Perfect. Oh, there we go. We're all good. Yeah. We're
yeah, it'll kick in. All right, cool. So, JB, we are live, brother. What's going on? How are you?
I'm good, man. Good. I was enjoying our conversation, obviously, just beforehand. And yeah, thank you for having me on today. I really appreciate, you know, you reaching out and making this happen, basically.
Thank you for taking the time, man. I really appreciate it. We were just talking off air about you are obviously the host of the JB podcast. And we were just talking off air about potential, these kind of missteps and flops and just shitty things that happen when you're trying to record a show. And I was telling you about my prior episode with Primal Swolger, Eric, that is Primal Swolger on Instagram. And it was just this cringe fest. I mean, I couldn't tell you how much when you're recording in the top left corner, you'll always see the time streaming. And in that episode, if you watch, my eyes are constantly just darting up at the corner and looking at them like 13 minutes in. Okay. 13 minutes in, 25 minutes in, 25. I'm like, when can I, cause you know, a guy like that gives you his time and you're incredibly appreciative and you want to put forward the best product that you can, but the Skype keeps dropping out. There's all these little mishaps. And like I was saying to you, it's after I actually reached out to Nathan of Drawn from the Mind, who I suppose at this point, this entire podcast is brought to you by Nathan of Drawn from the Mind.
Both of us, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm talking to him the next morning and I'm going, dude, I think I'm thinking about not airing that episode. And he didn't respond, but I kind of knew what he would say. So I responded before he did. And I was like, you know what? Good or bad, you stand by your work, right? That's what it is. That's what this whole experience is. And so even if I wasn't pleased with the product or I didn't think it was an accurate representation of my guest, as long as it's not harmful to them, it certainly wasn't harmful to him in any way. It was my own fault for having a shit system. But I put it up and I stood by it. But you were saying that you've also had some missteps and some flops.
Yeah. So, basically I think it was like my third ever podcast that I'd done, and it went up on YouTube, and basically it was an hour with this guy who lives locally to me. And he was talking, he's a personal trainer and he calls himself the dad coach. And basically he's just all into fitness, but he was like giving off such motivational speeches, positivity, camera recording, everything perfect, right? Anyways, go back to listen to the stream after it's uploaded and realize there was no fucking audio. So it's just an hour of me asking a question and then some guy going,
oh, that's the worst. That's so painful.
And I had to message him and go, dude, the stream's up, but I didn't record anything you said. And he was just like, I just didn't even get a response. And then about a week later, he went, yeah, we'll have to make that happen again then. And I was just like, I think he needed time to cool off.
Oh,
I felt bad, obviously.
Yeah, and then it's a nightmare.
Other little times as well, it's just like little things, because for me, like, especially, I'm such a like, I really want to be like, I'm like a perfectionist and everything has to be right. So if I'm talking to someone and I can see their mouths are moving, but the audio is slightly delayed, it pisses me off. And I'm like
Yeah.
looking at, is this going to sort out? And I never know why it does it. I still ain't found out, but it's sorted now, which is great. I don't know whether it's my system or whatever, but yeah, like those little mistakes, they just happen. And I think that's part of like growing as a podcast. I mean, my latest podcast obviously was with Thomas Hearns. Software I used didn't stream it live, and then so I thought I'd record it, and then for some reason, because the software malfunctioned, it didn't even record it, so I had nothing of that episode. I was,
Right.
I was distraught. It's like I've got Thomas Hearns on, legendary boxer,
Huge
and
opportunity. What a beautiful thing for him to take the time to come on your show and talk. That's amazing.
I can't even turn around to him and go that, like, there's nothing. I can't just say the audio didn't record properly, mate. It's just, yeah, I just didn't record it. We just had a chat. I didn't record it. Weird.
Which is nice, I guess. You got to talk to Tommy Hearns, but oh man. And then it's equally as painful because, like I said, this person took the time to talk to you. And you imagine that these people, they don't just have loads of time in the day to come and talk to whoever comes and asks for it. And the fact that they took the time out of their day to talk to you is it's a beautiful thing. It's what we're doing the show for in the first place. And then to have to, kind of slink over to them and go, well, I kind of didn't get any of that at all. And then it's like, I don't even want to ask to do it again. You know what I mean? It's like for
Why
example,
should
with
they, yeah?
right, why should they, number one? And number two, in the particular case of Primal Soldier, it was like I couldn't even figure out why it was happening to begin with. So to have asked him if we could just do it again felt like an idiot move. And so that'll forever be archived as just a failure to look back on, which is good. I think it is good to show somebody, if anybody ever comes to you and goes, hey, I'm looking to do a podcast, do you have any advice? I would probably point them in the direction of my worst show. And I would say, like, if you can't handle this, don't do it at all, because shit's gonna happen occasionally. And if you don't just pick your bags up and keep moving forward, you're asking for trouble, because it's not, the other thing that it does to you is it also makes you go, I'm incredibly fearful of trying out a new system. Once I find a system that works, to roll the dice and toss that out there and see whether or not the next thing works. I have people that I'm lucky enough that'll take that risk with me. Nathan being one of them, where he'll just sit down and shoot the shit with me, and if it works out, it works out, and then if it doesn't, he'll just make fun of me, and that'll be that. But without, to reach out to somebody on a huge level and ask them to give that time to you, man. When you're trying out a new system, it's sketchy.
Yeah, I mean, that was the that's always the bane for me. It's like, I mean, there's always going to be problems. I podcasted with Tito Ortiz, and he was driving in his car, and like the his video and audio went at one point, and then another point the call just completely went because he cancelled a phone call, which cancelled my call. So I was like, oh, we'll just we'll see if we can get him back. And then he just rang me back, and I started chatting with him, and it was great, But those little things, they do happen for people like us, because we haven't got our own studio, we haven't got the money to
Right.
fly people in, and so on. We're not
Right.
the Joe Rogans of the world, do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
But we're trying, and I think that's also a message for people who might be listening to this, who want to start a podcast, is to accept that at the start, it might be shit, but you're constantly learning. Like, I remember a podcast I did with Felicity Feline. She's an adult actress, and the amount of times I said, like, honestly, within 2 minutes, I was like, let your life, so yeah, like, and done, like, and I actually uploaded it and just put sorry for the amount of likes in the fucking video. Let somebody shoot me. It's like,
Absolutely, man. But that's what you got to do. It's funny because I'll have the same thing. I'll do a couple of things. One is the ums. I can't seem to drop the ums for the life of me. Another one is after I go to interject,
you know, when it's my part to pick the conversation up, I can't help but start it with, it's interesting because and I'm like, I gotta find fucking synonyms for the word interesting, because I keep, that's my number one. It'll be a long, you know, exchange on their part, and then when it's time for me to say something, I'll go, well, it's interesting because, and as soon as I say that, it'll suck me straight out of the conversation, because a little voice in my head goes, is it fucking interesting because, is it really interesting because. I can't help it.
I can relate because I do I'm like, what? People are like thinking, what the fuck are you doing? Meditating, you know?
Right. Om, your ohms, dropping the ohms in there. What got you started in podcasting?
To be honest, I was sitting with a friend. I've just done the again. I'm going to try and limit the amount of ohms. See how long I can go. So I was sitting with a friend. I was sitting with a friend. We were talking. And I just finished my personal training business.
Right.
It didn't do too well. And I needed another like hobby, passion and so forth that, you know, I just wanted to do to occupy that time that had been left because my business didn't do too great.
Right.
So I just basically bought a really shitty camera and a really shitty mic and just rolled with it, like started doing all the artwork and designing it. Knew it wasn't going to be perfect from the beginning.
Right.
So I had to accept that even though I wanted it to be. And then sent emails out to people I'd like to talk to and kind of just got the ball rolling. And, you know, I just think it's a great tool because you can just connect with people around the world, chat with people we've never met. I've never met you before. You know, we're having a conversation.
Right.
It's calm and casual. And I also wanted to just learn, like, what motivated successful people to see if there was, like, a specific sort of mindset or drive, you know, something that they all did in their routines, whatever it was, or like a set time that pretty much everyone kind of got up.
Right.
For these people that were successful in their field. So all these little things really kind of just motivated me to want to go and chat. And Joe Rogan, obviously, as well, watched him and thought, fuck it, I can do something like that. And that's the goal, I guess.
How long has it been?
Oh, for me, coming up to 2 years now.
Okay.
Yeah, I started growing my Instagram a year ago, and I was at 1,000 followers October last year, and now I'm at 10,700.
That's insane. In 1 year.
Yeah, so that's good. That's positive.
Right. And just absolutely.
People I've spoke to, you know, which is
that's the best part.
Michelle Watson, Tito Ortiz, Mick West from the Joe Rogan podcast, who debunks 9/11 things. I got retweeted by Joe Rogan, one of my podcast episodes did, which is a massive highlight.
That's as high as it gets, right?
Yeah, the big man himself retweeted.
Absolutely, absolutely. I started listening to Rogan maybe 7-8 years ago, and I always had this desire to do something like that, but you know, in the beginning it was just like, oh, I feel like that would be cool. And then as time went on, it got more and more. And one of the things that I kind of did that was a fault on my behalf was this idea that I can't start a podcast unless I have, you know, proper audio equipment, proper recording equipment, this, that, and the other thing, da da da. And I got to this point where I realized I had been kicking that ball around for years, and financially it just wasn't feasible for me to go out and get these things. And maybe it was, but I also it's when it comes to research, it's like I you know, I'll slam the laptop shut 15 minutes into trying to find a microphone. I'll search for a microphone, and then I'll say, well, what are the parameters that this microphone has to meet for me to be using it? And then I'll have to look into the individual parameters and what, you know, the hertz means and what's this mean, and whether it's an auxiliary cable or a USB. And after so long, I just shut that. I can't do that anymore. It drives me insane. So I know that's not my strong point. And I go, well, at some point, because Rogan did an episode where he was on a plane where he had his iPhone and he just hit voice record. And I said, okay, if Joe Rogan is willing to put forward an episode where he literally just opens his iPhone, who am I to think that I need better equipment than that? I have an iPhone. I have voice memo. Go for it. Right. So I finally sat down one day 6 months ago and just started talking, you know, to the microphone. And I have the great graces that no one was listening to that, right? Thank God, because those first, I'd say the first 9 episodes were just, you know, shit, speed bumps and potholes. And but I don't know, I always had this, I never had a particular skill. Like at my occupation, I'm a welder, and I learned how to do that pretty quickly, and I'm pretty good at it. But a lot of people have a natural skill from when they were young, you know, whether they were good at a sport or they were good at drawing or art or something like that. And I think that kind of goes back to whoever, what's the word I'm looking for, kind of fostered that in you. So, for example, if you did a thing and someone that you looked up to said, "Hey, you're really good at that thing," in your youth, you're very prone to running with that. So the earliest that I could trace it back to, my desire to talk, was being in the car when I was like 11 years old, and I had heartburn. I've always had acid reflux, and I recently got rid of it through diet and exercise. But for the longest time, we didn't know what was causing it. And I remember the first time I tried to explain it to my mom. So my mom's in the front seat of the car, I'm in the back seat of the car, and I'm making a face, and she could see me in the rear view. And she goes, "What's the matter? Are you all right?" And I go, "It feels like the stomach acids, the acids in my stomach are somehow coming up to my throat and burning my esophagus." I said that at 11 years old, and my mom went, like, outside of the acid reflux, she was like, "That was incredibly articulate." And then my stepdad was like, "Yeah, that was really oddly well explained." And that's all it took. And from that moment, I was like, "Yeah, I'm good at talking." You know what I mean? That's that. At 11 years old, I decided I was good at talking. And so, whether or not that's true, it is a powerful thing for a kid to believe that. And so, I carried that forever. And every periodically through my life, someone would say, "You're a good storyteller. You were good this and that." Carried that all the way here, and now I'm doing this. And you know, it's, I feel like it's the right thing because, like you mentioned, the ability to communicate with people that you would never have that opportunity. The people that I've gotten to talk to are, it's the coolest part of the show. It's the coolest part, hands down. The relationships that I've built, the interactions that I've gotten to have, the things that I've learned from different people, and also just the doors that I've opened between me and those people. It's fantastic. It's amazing. Every once in a while, I could drop in, "Happy holidays." I get to say happy holidays to somebody that, you know, I would have otherwise never have spoken to begin with. And then the other thing is, it undoubtedly brings this satisfaction, like this. It feels like you're going in the right direction when something hits that was unexpected, and suddenly that episode's got a lot of views, or you get positive feedback from somebody. And I think the last thing is, you know, the girls from Guys We Fucked?
No.
Guys We
How
Fucked is
was
a.
that?
It's a
No.
they're a it's a podcast with these two comedian chicks, and they're doing very well. They were on Rogan's podcast one day, and Rogan had him on, and he said, "It's unbelievable what you've managed to do, because you've shown that anybody, you don't have to be famous to have a successful podcast. You just have to put the work in and find your niche." And I thought that was really inspiring. And then later on, I heard them say on a future episode of their own show, I guess they had forgotten what Rogan said. And for whatever reason, they said, "If you are not famous and you're trying to start a podcast, give it up, because you're never going to be successful. You have to be somebody to have a successful show." And that was enough for me to go, "Fuck you. That I don't, I refuse to buy that. I think that's an antiquated idea. It's, maybe that applied to getting a show on television X amount of years ago, but I think we live in a very special era right now where the average person, as long as they hustle hard enough, can carve out a spot for themselves on the internet, specifically in podcasting.
Yeah, I mean, my kind of take on that is, it's like being born into money, you know? You're being born into money. You've got a foothold in the world. You know, you can have a nice car and a nice house, and you get that leap, but it still doesn't mean that you're going to be born into success, in the sense of, still doesn't mean just because you've got loads of money you're going to be a successful person. So by being famous and having a podcast is great, because you already have a following and a fan base that are going to tune into your show, rather than, you know, me, for example, or you down the road or whatever. We don't have loads of fans and whatever. You know, if Daniel Radcliffe from Harry Potter started a podcast, he's got however many million followers on YouTube. He's instantly got views and people. So that's the only foothold they have, really, and the money for the equipment and so on. But other than that, I mean, it doesn't mean they're going to be successful, because they might not be able to have a conversation, or they might come across boring or shitty or arsey or whatever. Like, people might just be like, nah, but they're still going to appeal to someone.
Right. But I think
So they.
that on the other side of that, if you hustle hard, you become that Daniel Radcliffe, right? Or somebody. It's like saying you can't be an actor if you're not already famous, or you can't have a TV show if you're not already famous. But how many people became famous because of their television show?
Yeah, that's what I mean as well. Obviously, for yourself and I and other podcasters out there, so that you got to start from somewhere, whether and build and build and build and build and hustle. And I mean, I've sent probably about 1,500 emails to different people trying to get them on my podcast, famous people, normal people, and I've had what 46 episodes. Probably a handful of them are like really, really well known. So you've got to work for it. I didn't get Michelle Waterson and her husband on by just, hoping they would come to me. I had to fucking put in the work. I had to look at who Michelle Waterson was married to, contact her husband to fucking make it
Ah,
happen,
that's
you see.
smart. Very smart.
So
That's a
there's a
good
little trick
move.
for her.
Right,
There's a little trick
absolutely.
for her. Think outside the box.
Yeah, I was blown away when I watched that episode of yours. I was like, I can't, that's so awesome that he got to talk to Michelle Waterson. And it really made me start to think, like, wow, look at the things that are, because I figured listening to you that you were the type of guy that if I asked you, like, how did you get Michelle Waterson, you would have said something to the effect of, you just try, like you put yourself out there, you try to contact them, you work, whatever angles you can, and you give it a shot. It's the, it's that silly idiom of you miss 100% of the shots that you don't take, right? You've heard that one. That's it.
Yeah.
It's just going out there and taking a shot. What's the worst thing that's going to happen? Michelle Waterson's going to say no, or she won't respond. Well, if you can't handle that, shuffle on, because you're going to get a lot of those non-responses. I've contacted a whole lot of people that didn't respond, or they did respond and they said no, or they did respond and then they fell through. There's all these different things that are going to happen. And then when you got Tito, it's like, unbelievable. But to me, that speaks to exactly what we were just saying, where it's like, you didn't have to have a successful sitcom for Tito Ortiz to say yes to you. You just had to shoot your shot, And you have this work ethic, you have this show that you care about your product enough to refine it and make it good. You've built a reputation strictly off of that, and that was enough for you to get to talk to Tito Ortiz. And how many people out there, myself included, if you talked to me, a year ago, I'd have thought, like, no way, there's no way that you could start a show, what'd you say, for 2 years now?
Yeah,
There's no way
nearly.
that you could start a show and then 2 years later be talking to Tito Ortiz. That's insane.
It's
When
mad.
you stop and think about that, 2 years and you're talking to Tito Ortiz.
That's true. I could have probably saved money, got on a plane, met him somewhere, and just had a conversation. But
Right, right, right.
I'm fucking with you. But yeah,
I mean
I get you. But it's. I mean, it is like. I mean, I've had a problem with my like with Tito Ortiz and the Michelle Waterson thing is that they've got so many followers and yet my videos on YouTube fucking haven't even made 200 views and I'm like, you've got 800,000 followers, you've shared it,
Right.
I've got 200 views, like what is going on? So I'm like
Right.
getting a bit paranoid here, like is YouTube muzzling my shit or something? I'm like wondering,
I know what you mean. It's interesting because the people that I've talked to and you look at their following and then the way it translates to my show, it just isn't the same. And I don't know. I'm not sure what that speaks to, but I think more and more I've been kicking around this idea of because I never thought of myself as somebody that could do it alone. Like, I always thought if I pull this off, I've got to build relationships and communicate with people and everything. And I the more and more I think about it, the more I'm like, Lee Syatt, for example, he's the co-host with Joey Diaz. Well, Lee is coming out with something. It's some sort of platform for podcasters. It should be coming out this month. And I don't know what he's going to do and whether it's going to be successful, but it got me thinking like there is something that should be done with a place for podcasters to go and be separate because they're becoming it's their own source of media. And it's a very strong source of media. It's becoming huge. And I think that there in the future, very soon, are going to be organizations that are strictly for podcasters. You're going to have this umbrella, and there's going to be a certain flavor of podcasters under this one, and there's going to be that umbrella with a certain flavor of podcasters under that one. And I think as famous as the guests are that, you know, you might have or I might have, I think it's just a matter of time until people start to have, they're going to identify with podcasters in a specific group, and podcasters are going to be part of the everyday vernacular. And then the fame is going to come because we're still on that edge of fall to one side and everyone's going to get it. But right behind us is a mass of people that just have no idea what it is. So if Michelle Waterson has X amount of millions of followers, well, what percentage of those followers are even aware, really, of what a podcast is? And then, which is, I'm sure it's a lot at this point, but then what percentage of those people even really listen to podcasts? I think that number dramatically reduces. Lots of people are aware of what they are. Not a significant amount of those people are listening, even though a large amount are listening. And then you boil it down to how to find you. How often are they? Because I listen to podcasts like an insane person. From about 5 a.m. to about 3:30, I'm listening to podcasts all day. I'm in a unique situation where I'm able to do that. But you take the average person, they've got five shows that they listen to, and that's probably being generous. I think it's probably more like two to three shows that they listen to on an average basis. And then their ability to even keep up with the episodes that those two to three shows are pumping out is a whole nother thing. So I think the what will change that strange happening is in a couple of years when there are these well-defined, sorted out conglomerations of podcasters, and when podcasts are part of the everyday vernacular and people are looking to them as a source of shows as opposed to whatever the hell is on, you know, cable television or even what's on Netflix too. I think we're getting to a point where we're going to be a huge competitor for a lot of large organizations right now.
No, I agree, and I think as well, like time will do its thing. So, an example I can use, obviously, is if you look at YouTube channels and when they started, a lot of them would have started in like 2008, and their channel's been going 10 years, and it's only like the last 3 years that this started to take off. And it's just about, so that podcast episode with Tony Zimbotti and Mick West, the 9/11 debate, which got retweeted by Joe Rogan's got 7,000 views. Well, now if someone types in 9/11 debate, because of the amount of views that's got, that's going to rank higher in YouTube. It's going to draw more traffic in and so on. So it's an accumulation. Like as those views creep up, your ranking creeps up, and then obviously the subscribers and everything will come with that. And that just happens with time. Like, and that's my problem. I just want it to be like overnight. Just wake up,
But
done.
if you look at it, it kind of almost has been because I was talking to somebody the other day and I said, if you go to work every day and you've been with a company for 6 years and you show up and you do your lot and you don't call out, da 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 da, every year you'll be lucky enough to get whatever it is, the 3% raise that is, you know, a custom or normal for your company to give out. And after so many years, you'll be a total of 15% unless you've gotten some sort of promotion. But essentially what I'm saying is it's a very long road and it's very gradual outside of like a snap promotion to a different position. But if you look at your growth in under 2 years, like you said, it's if you could take that same growth and apply it to your day job, that would look insane. It would look crazy to be in your day job. And if your followers were somehow translated to your, you know, your monetary capabilities in your day job, what percentage of growth is that? It's insane. You know, it just, I think the internet is so fast that it's actually spoiled us a bit and we don't realize like, holy shit, the growth that we're having. And I mean, what I've experienced in 6 months, I have a tendency to get down on myself, right? Where like there'll be a slow week and I'll just go, God, you know, like I feel like I'm not doing enough. I need to be doing more. This isn't catching. Why have I lost X amount of followers and not gained those, you know, da 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 da. And then if you pull back and you look at the whole picture, it's like, well, what am I crying about?
Yeah.
In it's, 6 months, it's been amazing.
There was a little showing on the Narcos that I just, a little saying on the show Narcos I just watched, which was three men see an elephant, one man grabs the horn, one man grabs the tail, one man pats the stomach of the elephant or whatever. And they're like, and that's all they see, is they see like the stomach, the tail, or the horn. It's like, but then when you step back from that, you realize there's a whole fucking elephant there. And it's like that, that's the kind of the point, I guess, that I think on myself and probably yourself, we are quite hard on, like, because we want to achieve and be constantly growing. Especially for me, I think to myself, fuck me, like, how fucking long is this going to take? And why am I not earning any money? Why is this not happening? Why are people not subscribing? You know, when really I need to think, in this amount of time, I've come this far. And you know, that's a beautiful thing. And these people are hearing my message. And that should also be, you know, the people right. are tuning in. Got to be grateful for them as well.
It is strange that what gives us that why isn't it happening faster feeling. I don't know where I mean, I guess I could take some guesses at it as to where it comes from, but it does seem, because when I started this show out, I told myself, get ready to talk to no one for 5 years, get ready to make no progress for 5 years, get ready to make no money for 5 years, get ready to make nothing but mistakes for the longest time. And if you're willing to do that, then go ahead and do the show. And I accepted all that and I did the show. And now 6 months later, if I notice like a 10 person drop in my followers, I'm going, well, why is that? If I have an episode that doesn't bang out the way that I want it to, and I'm going, that's not the person that started 6 months ago. The person that started was ready to eat dicks for 5 years. You know what I mean? And now I'm over here. I have all these awesome things happening and you know, you still get, but I think it's also important to do that, right? Because if you get complacent and you get comfortable, well, you're a fool. Because at the end of the day, you zoom out on that elephant and yeah, there's a whole elephant going on. But if you're being brutally honest, your elephant sucks compared to a lot of other elephants. So you got a lot of work to do, you know? So
God damn you, yeah. Podcasting gods.
Exactly.
Fuck
exactly.
You.
Exactly. I was, you know, I've been lucky enough to meet up with Nathan and my buddy Chase, who I told you about with the websites and everything. And it's like, those are things that I didn't think I would ever see the other side of for 5 years. You know, I've got a website and I've got fucking merchandise and all this crap. And, you know, it just takes, it's got to be a healthy balance where you do shake yourself up and you do go, you should be doing better. You should be working harder. You should be hustling and finding that next opportunity. But also, I don't know what it is, maybe once a week, just step back and go, but look at it. Look at this shitty, malnourished elephant that I didn't even have an elephant before. And this one's not the best, but he's my elephant. You know, you got to take that. I did see that episode, by the way, because I've been watching Narcos. And it was like when the dude was narrating and he was talking about yeah. the elephant. Yeah, it was a great episode. But that is a great analogy because it's the exact same thing. Every once in a while, you got to put yourself in check because you need that. That mixture, there's two different types of motivation, right? It's the motivation of look how good I'm doing. This is awesome. Let's keep it going forward. And then it's the motivation of you fucking suck, you dummy, do better. Those are two different, but you need them both.
Yeah. Because it's like the yin and yang, isn't it, of life. You know, you lead the negatives to the positives, the ups and the downs, the right. smiles and the frowns.
Right, right, exactly.
Whatever, you know. But yeah, you do need it. Like if you were constantly like grinding, you're never going to appreciate the achievement because exactly. you're always going to be grinding. And the same sense as well is if you are comfortable, you know, and you just say to yourself, well, you know, I've made it or whatever, then you lose that drive for the grind.
Exactly.
So, and you don't get anywhere. So it's a fine balance. And I think everyone's trying to work out in their own way. whether we get there or not, well, fuck knows, you know, because
Right.
I tilt a little bit more to the negative side of it, where I'm just like, fuck you,
Right.
Joe
Yeah.
Rogan.
Yeah, it's the trick of not getting so full of yourself that you get complacent, and not getting so down on yourself that you get depressed and discouraged. So once you start to get too down and you feel the depressed and the discouraged kick in, you need to flip to the other side and look at the elephant. And then you look at the elephant for too long and you start to go, "Ah, it's fucking good. I can see its ribs, but it's okay." Then you got to flip to the no, it's a shit elephant side. So you got to kind of do the back and forth. But you mentioned that you tried to launch a personal trainer's business prior to the podcast.
Yeah,
That
so I
takes
was
some
doing that.
balls, man. What was that like?
Shit,
Yeah.
fucking shit. No, I work in fitness at the moment, so I work for a company called Freedom Leisure over here. Shit money, you know. But
It
whatever.
is what it
And
is, yeah.
yeah, and I'd say when I first qualified to be a personal trainer for 3 to 4 years, I think it was, I was trying to build a business.
Right.
Tried all the marketing tools in the book, you know, tried everything. Listened to Bedros, Kualian, Craig Ballantyne, who I had the honor of hosting once on my podcast as well. Listened to them, tried to implement their stuff. Implemented like free sessions, body transformations, competitions, you name it, done it, whatever. And I was earning a little bit of money, not massive amounts, like not enough that I could live off of. And I just think I burnt the candle at both ends in the end. I just put so much time and invested so much time, and it weren't, you know, and you've got to earn money from something, like to an
Right.
extent. If you're
Right.
passionate about it and you love it, money's not so much of an issue, but you need to still be able to buy some fucking bread. Do you know what I
Exactly.
mean?
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, I did all the took all the necessary routes. It's still a registered company at the moment. It's just dormant, so it's obviously not trading. And yeah, it didn't go too well. I do sometimes think about going back to it and trying it again and starting it again. Now I'm a little bit older and a bit more focused on things, but I just think I've lost my passion for the industry. So if there's no passion for me, I know well enough if my heart's not in it, I'll do it for a few months and be like, fuck this. And that's not good for my clients who I'm going to
Right.
train, for anyone around me. Do you know what I mean? If I'm just like, yeah, I just, you know, don't want to do it anymore. A lot of people who have invested time in me then get fobbed off and it's not reliable. So yeah, that's basically what happened. Sweet. And here I am.
But you're still real deep into fitness and everything. I mean, a lot of your guests are other trainers of sorts, or you know, workout fanatics and everything. So that's still part of your. It's not to say that you're not passionate about fitness. It just seems like maybe in that particular lane or that particular application of fitness is not where it's at. But you're still very much involved in it.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be real is in the sense of I'm not again not well. Maybe I'm passionate about it. I don't know, but I'd say you only talk about what you know, and I know fitness quite well. I know what I'm on about, so I want to talk to people who I can relate to and understand, and try and see what's driving them and maybe what I've been missing, and workouts and things like that. Things that I get. If I was going to talk to NASA astronaut or whatever, I'd have no fucking idea what they're going on about. I'd be sitting here going, yeah, I'd do it because I'd want to learn. I want to be educated, obviously.
Right.
So that's a great side of things. But the same thing, it probably wouldn't be the greatest podcast in the world because they'd be dropping numbers and physics on me, and I'd be like, oh yeah, okay, yeah, that makes sense. So
Yeah.
we did go to the moon then. Neil
Yeah,
deGrasse Tyson
exactly.
did go to the moon because I don't know enough about this shit.
That's my problem when it comes to so many different subjects. Like, I'm very much into the UFC. I used to box and do a little bit of MMA, a little bit of jiu-jitsu, and a lot of my personal friends are MMA practitioners. Some of them even compete, and I still don't feel comfortable enough having a conversation with a UFC fighter because I had done an episode where I talked about my own experiences with mixed martial arts. And then I did an episode with Rob of McDojo Life on Instagram, and you know, that was a lot about mixed martial arts as well and different martial arts styles and things of that nature. And then right after that, I realized like, well, there goes the well. The well is empty. And I have no desire to go back to talking about that unless it was, you know, with Rob or something like that or a close friend who's actually experienced it. But I don't, you know, and so I initially thought I'm not into any other sports. But I'll buy the pay-per-views for the UFC, and that's about the biggest thing that I'm into when it comes to anything that's sports-related. And obviously, being a fan of Rogan for so long, it's almost impossible to escape that net. And yet, I just don't have... I thought that I would set out and be doing a lot of that. And it's interesting what you think the thing is going to look like when you start it out, and then how it morphs over time is just... It's so different often from what you thought it was going to be. And a lot of these times when I have these big names on, you know, whoever it is, those episodes are admittedly not as awesome as some of the more casual ones, you know, where it's like I get a friend on, someone who I'm close to, someone who I can, you know, fuck off with a bit. And that those are the best episodes to me, the fun ones, you know what I mean? And so it's just interesting because you think that there's going to be so many different angles and so many different places that it's going to go. And then, like you mentioned with Michelle Waterson, where she's got all these followers and you think that that's going to be a return in some way and then it ends up not being. And then the things that you don't count on, the things that you don't think are going to be successful are often the ones that end up being successful.
Yeah. I mean, we've in the sense of like with my MMA and stuff like that, I didn't ever think I was going to be talking to anyone from MMA because I'll be brutally honest. I watched the sport. I knew fuck all about it. I just liked seeing people getting smacked in the mouth.
Yes, like, yes. And beating nothing up. Wrong with I was that. Just like,
manly sport. You know. Yeah. Oh, and the girls are in it too and they're hot. Yeah. But, you know, it was just something that, and then I just reached out to a few people. Spoke to them, Phil DeRue, who'd like coach Joanna Jacek, Dustin Poirier, spoke to him. And my podcast kind of just went down that route slightly. I mean, people ask me like what my podcast niche is and I have no idea. I talk to who I want to talk to. And if people like it, they like it. If they don't, they don't.
Right.
But I agree with you on the best episodes that I've had have been my UFC fight predictions ones.
Okay.
Because there's been... me, Phil DeRue, Dr. Paul D. Gloves, and Jason Burgos, and we'd all come together and we'd just predict the UFC fight card. And they're all American. And I mean,
that sounds
fun. 2 in the morning. Yeah, it's 2 in the morning when I'm sitting here. So I'm like, I'm hosting, but I'm like, eyes closed. I know, and I don't know, I'll be honest, I know pretty much fuck all about any other fighters other than the main stars.
Right, so right.
They're like weighing in, you know, Jason Burgos knows loads of stuff. Paulie knows loads of stuff. Phil DeRue works with fighters and that. They're all talking and I'm sitting here. And then they'll be like, so JB, who do you think is going to win? And I'll just go against the grain. Like, well, you three have all picked them, so I'm going to pick them. And I'll be like, I have no fucking idea, but whatever. There's right. just a laugh. And I think those episodes, a lot of my friends have messaged me and they'd say, mate, that's such a cool episode. You know, you relax. Right. Casual, and that feedback's what you want. So yeah, I could relate to you like this. You know, our conversation now is quite casual. We've never fucking met, but
yeah.
No,
well, I prefer that. Strength. I prefer the casual, man. I've done episodes where it's been, you know, there's been a lot of nerves involved, and this person is some high caliber of something. I want to represent them in the best way possible, and I also want to not come off as an idiot, and I don't want to ask them questions that they get a bunch all the time, you know. And there's so much pressure that the episodes aren't bad, but they're not my favorite to do. My favorite to do are the ones where it's kicked back and everything is relaxed, and you know, it's kind of one of those things where I'm not making money from this. If it's not fun for me, why in the hell would I do that? Why would I go down this route of constantly, there's always a bit of nerves. There's always a bit of nerves, you know, talking to you. It's like, I know it's coming up. It's the anticipation for the show. There's a lot of buildup. There's a lot of nerves involved. And then once you do it, it's always this really relaxing thing. But, I wouldn't want to go through those nerves and then sit down with an expert on something that I don't know a damn thing about and then go through this nerve-wracking experience. And then after I finally cut the cameras, go, well, I can't wait to do that again. That's going to be, you know what I mean? Like, that's not why I'm doing this at all. And I think, you know, I've been lucky enough to have like little things catch on, like, you know, the Frog King thing or what have you. Those came from fun episodes. And that to me has taught me a huge lesson too, where it's like you can get to talk to interesting people, but also don't forget to talk to other people who the mainstream doesn't know about, but are interesting and fun. You know, like those are the best kinds of people to talk to because there's no pressure. The pressure is removed. It's like Rogan will talk occasionally to somebody who, or all the fucking time, really, who I've never heard of at all. And then it ends up being this awesome episode. And if you go very quickly to their page before the Rogan effect happens, they've got like 400 followers.
Yeah,
You know what I mean? And it's like they're
I always catch
nobodies.
them people and email them. Like I had a Banachek on. He had like, he's the world's number one mentalist. So I taught Penn and Teller and things like that, but just had
Wow.
minimal following on fucking on his Instagram. I just reached out,
Right.
and then it just happened. And I just chatted with him. I was like, "How the fuck am I chatting to you? You've just been on the Joe Rogan podcast, and the next podcast you're on is mine. Like, what the
How
fuck?"
was that? That dude seems awesome.
Yeah, it was good, man. He was cool. He told me the story of how he got into what he got in, how he got into it, basically, how he fooled scientists into believing the paranormal shit.
Right.
Just told his story, really, and yeah, he was a cool guy. And then he put me under pressure because he made me talk about myself, and I was like, "Man, why are you doing this to me?" And he was like, "So why did you start your podcast? Show me this
Right,
photo." And he's like, "You got a dog. Show me your dog." So I had to like grab this photo of my dog, and I'm holding this photo of my dog on the fucking stream, and he's cracking up.
that's
And
great.
you know, just good people and that. And obviously, like, probably annoying for people that view my podcast, because if I'm talking to someone successful, I'm always like, "Who would have thought you'd be talking to me?" That's all I ever say.
Right,
And even
well,
if I
'cause it
paid,
is.
yeah, even if I had 1 million followers and a big podcast and whatever, and I got Conor McGregor on or something, and I've got more followers than McGregor, I'd still be like, "Who would have thought you'd be talking to me?"
Exactly. Well, I think that's good though, man. You shouldn't get to that point. Well, maybe you should. I don't know. I mean, you look at McGregor is somebody who just seemingly seethes confidence and belief in himself. And so obviously there's a place for that. But for me personally, I could never imagine getting to some space in my head where I'm like kind of cocky about the idea, like, well, you should be honored to talk to me. Like, I feel like every time I get to talk to anybody, it blows my goddamn mind. Because 6 months ago, I wasn't talking to anybody. And for X amount of years, I was kicking this idea around and never doing anything about it. And then all of a sudden, the internet has expedited this process. And I remember the first time I had anybody say they would be my guest. It blew my mind. I was, I think, maybe 8 or 9 episodes in, solo episodes, where I'm just rambling by myself about myself. Super strange. And then one day, this character Rob of McDojo Life goes live on Instagram, and I happened to be li listening to him on another podcast, and I said, you know, hey man, listening to you on so and so's podcast, great episode. And he goes, hey, if you ever want me to be on your episode, just let me know. And I went, I shut the live stream, called my wife, and immediately was like, what a perspective, because I remember how shocked I was, how unbelievable it was for me that this guy said that he would be on my show when I had been watching him on Instagram for, you know, a few years at that point. He had been mentioned on Joe Rogan's show, and you know, he's the guy that exposes fake martial artists on his page. Like, that's his thing. And I couldn't believe it. I was so blown away. I called my wife up. I'm yelling at her, can you believe so and so said this? And she's like, well, what did you say? And I was like, I didn't say anything. I just closed the live stream. And she's like, what are you doing, you idiot? Go tell him that you want him on the show. So I go, okay. And I hang up the phone, and I message him, and I'm like, hey, you said that you would. Would you be interested? I'd really appreciate it. You know, da 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 da. I think it would be great. And you know, he says yes. And I just remember that moment and how unbelievable it was. It felt like I was trying to capture lightning in a bottle. And now here I am beating myself up when I don't have enough guests. You know what I mean? It's just such, and it was only, wow. I mean, my first guess, if that was 9 episodes in, this is episode 33. That was probably 4 months ago or something. It was only 4 months ago. And I
Yeah.
and perspective has switched so much, and that's what I was getting at with the internet and how it expedites this process is like the speed, it's happening so fast. The internet makes things happen so fast you just don't even believe it. And then weird shit like this happens, like psychological pitfalls, because I don't think we're designed to have things happen this quickly, you know? So you get into weird headspaces, but it's a bizarre thing, man. It's a bizarre thing to be doing this, to have anybody sit down and talk to you. And you know, you look at where you've made it in 2 years, and do you ever just kick the ball around and go like, well, what the fuck is the next 2 years gonna look like after this?
Yeah, that's true. Should we do something funny right now? Awkward silence.
Yeah, what is it? Right, just is it pondering? Just think about
Yeah.
it. Just think about
Let's
it.
just have some awkward silence.
Oh, if we could
Let's.
have somebody just Photoshop one of those bubbles, you know,
I
and there's this crazy elaborate shit happening.
just I'd do the thought bubble, and then I'd write in it deliberately being silent to cause awkwardness.
Exactly.
Bastard. No, I'm joking, but yeah, no, that's true. I mean, in 2 years' time from now, who knows? I don't set any goals really with podcasting. The only goal I set was to grow to 10,000 followers within a year, which I'd done through Instagram, and that was it. And now, if anything else happens, it's a plus for me.
What did you do? Like, did you just figure out an algorithm? Did you just up your posting and your outreach and just doing better at communicating with people and such?
Can't tell you the secret, mate.
Oh
I'll
man,
tell you
because
off
I've been
stream.
all right, because I've been looking at it and I'm like, you know, part of me is like, go out and have genuine interactions with people that are talking about things that are relevant to what you do. And that does help net a certain amount of followers that are, but it's, I mean, the growth is so slow, especially I look at Nathan of Drawn from the Mind, and he managed to get to like X, like a couple of thousand in like 3 months. And Nathan is creating art. And so he's able to put that art forward each day. And he's lucky enough that, you know, or not lucky enough, but he's got enough skill and he's got enough creativity and a sense of humor that he makes fun shit. And so you have the benefit of putting out original content on a daily basis. As a podcaster, I struggle to find what I could do that's original content that I could put out every day. And so I've started to do actual short videos, you know, a minute long, where I'm just talking about this or talking about that or whatever the case is, because I think that's a huge key to it. Is but unlike a picture that's filled with colors and it's something humorous and it's something relevant to a comedian or a podcaster and it pops and it catches your eye, you see some asshole talking with a flag and a D behind him, and it's just so easy to just go, whatever the fuck, who cares? And you scroll past that real quick, you know? So to me, trying to figure out that game of what is original content on a daily basis look like for a podcaster is pretty rough.
Yeah, I think it's just about like my page. I just be myself, you know. So I
Yeah.
just posted a photo of me leaning against a Bugatti Veyron. Like, I'm just
Okay.
like, fuck it, you know. But I have a layout, so I'll do like post, and then like a spiritual saying post, and then
Right,
post, and
yeah.
spiritual saying post. So if you look on my Instagram page, which if your fans are listening, the JB podcast, you just flick down, and yeah, you'll see it's like all layered and set. And I think if people want to grow on Instagram, it's good to have a nice layout, and then people who are following you know if they've seen two of your posts, they know what the third one's going to be, and they might only engage with that post because they only are following you for that shit.
Right.
Obviously, doing clips are a great thing. I may as well just say, as with Instagram, it's just about grafting, so commenting on other people's work. Liking other people's stuff, that's in your niche. So if you're a podcaster, hashtag podcast in the search bar, check out all that stuff. Like
Right.
it, comment, like it, comment, like it, comment. It's fucking long-winded, but you'll
It's a
get a return.
full-time job.
Yeah, and if you're lucky like me, you stand around in the gym and you can do that shit.
Right.
So yeah, that's a plus. People have tried to say I've bought my followers, but if you look through, they'll probably be like the occasional bot, but most of them are legit. I mean, even Joe Rogan has bots. Like,
Right.
everyone
Yeah,
has
it's bound to
bot
happen.
accounts. Yeah. So yeah, no purchasing. And if you purchase followers, or have done, my advice out there for anyone trying to grow is to delete them immediately, because basically, imagine this, if you post something and Instagram's limiting accounts now, so your post won't reach, for example, 2,000 people. If out of those 2,000 people, 700 of them are fake,
Right.
basically your post might engage with 300 of those 700 people that are fake. Well, they're not going to like your fucking post, are they? Because they're fake. So
Right.
it's better to have real followers at a lower number and have the engagement rate. Or if you're like me and you get fucked by Instagram, have 10,000 followers and struggle to get 100 likes and be like, what the fuck's
Right.
going on? Because I've just
I've heard that
graphed
if you
it.
purchase an ad off of Instagram, that afterwards they peg you as somebody who would be likely to purchase an ad in the future, and then there's an algorithm where they limit your reach so that you're more likely to purchase an ad in the future, which I've done that one time and then did see like a drop in my engagement and was like, what the hell?
It happens, man. Like my engagement rate of whatever, like the Instagram algorithm now is fucked because obviously they want people to pay for advertising because they want to make money.
Right.
That's fair enough. They're a business. They've got to do that. So for me now, I've learned to just take a back seat. And if I upload something and it only gets 10 likes and I've got 10,000 followers, who gives a shit? You know, those 10
Right.
people have seen it. I've inspired someone. The message has been reached.
Right.
So don't be too hard on yourself. Instagram now, you're people who are probably trying to get into it and grow and make money through Instagram. It's probably a bit too late, in my opinion, because I'm not seeing any return from having the so-called holy grail of 10,000 followers. When you look online and they say you want to earn money on Instagram, you can earn up to $350 if you've got 3,000 followers. It's like, well, dude, I've got 10,000 and I'm earning fuck all. So where did you get that
Right.
figure from? So yeah, those are just some little tips anyways, through for the Instagram stuff. Not that you probably even cared, but now you know.
No, it is interesting because I think anybody that's trying to grow a page is like, what's, you know, how, what's the move? And I think it is, like you mentioned, it's like going to what's relevant to you, engaging these people, liking their stuff, because it's endearing when somebody says anything about your work or anything like that. And so if that feels good to you, obviously it's going to be what feels good to other people, and that's what's going to make them likely to, you know, look at your work. So there is something to that, but it's, I think it's almost like, what's that new thing on the horizon? What's that new social media platform that might be creeping up and coming that we haven't seen yet? Because that's also part of the game too, is like, if you really want a show to grow or your product to grow, well, maybe you also should be looking at what's on the horizon. You know, I looked at Snapchat and I was like, eh, I couldn't get comfortable with it, and that was my own fault. I probably should have done that and taken it more seriously, but I've learned from it. You know who Gary Vee is? A couple of people have turned me on to him recently. I had no idea who he was until about a month ago, and then I've been listening to his audiobooks and such, and he makes you feel stupid. He makes you go, oh, I'm not doing enough. I'm not reaching out enough. I'm not using free platforms for free advertisement. I mean, all of these different things, the tools that we have at our fingertips are, you know, part of what expedites that process of becoming successful. Because 20 years ago, without the internet, everything was a slow crawl to success. And now it's like, it's so attainable that it's almost, I don't know, not too easy, obviously, or else we'd be there. But it's like, you take it for granted and you don't realize like all the different things between Pinterest and Snapchat and you know, Instagram and Facebook and Twitter and all these different things. They're all free. They're all free. It's an unlimited way to get everything that you want to get out on the internet for thousands and thousands of eyes to see if you play your cards right.
I mean, the problem I have with Gary Vee is like, I believe his talk, right? But did he get where he is now on his fucking own? Because I'm telling you, I don't care how much, like, unless you've got something wrong with you or right with you, whatever you want to call it, unless you can work bang 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 constantly all that fucking
Right.
time. Because it ain't easy getting on all those social media platforms and then
No.
maintaining those platforms and then getting the followers on those platforms. Like, if you have Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, fucking Pinterest, you've got to upload your shit to all those websites. Then the page that you're hosting your podcast to, then YouTube, whatever. It ain't fucking easy. You need to employ some motherfucker to
Right,
do that
right.
shit for you, yeah? And Gary
Yeah.
Vee was born into money. I think his dad owned a wine company. You're telling me he didn't chuck someone a fucking 30 grand a year job to post all that shit out for him of him talking and that.
Right,
Don't
because
get me
trying to
wrong,
keep up
he's.
with Facebook is garbage. Facebook sucks. Trying to post and then gain traction on. Are you on Facebook?
Not anymore, no.
I fucking
I
hate it.
fucked that off. I fucked
It's
it
so
off, mate.
stupid. It's so stupid.
But I think that's what people also need to realize is like that it's like these people who are there, they're preaching and they're preaching and they're preaching, and it's kind of like people that are listening need to understand that it ain't like that. Do you know what I mean? It isn't
Right.
as it isn't eat shit. Do you know what I mean? It isn't like eat shit, don't spend any money, then invest in a company and you'll make loads of money. Like
Right.
it's not that, you know, and it isn't work 15-hour days and blah 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 and you'll be there. Like it's you're human. Well, I am. Anyways, I'm fucking human. Do you know what I mean? Like if I work 8 hours, I'm fucking tired. Like I'll come home,
Yeah.
do a bit of video editing, like half asleep, video editing, and then I'll lay down and go to sleep. That's a day. But
Right.
there's just, do you get what I mean? It's like be
I know, I understand
sustainable for
exactly.
yourself
Well,
and
you have to approach those things in a realistic view. It's like use those kind of people and those kind of talks and those kind of books as motivation, but also don't get your head lost in the clouds and think that that's the only way and that there isn't either a workaround or that this person didn't have an advantage that you don't have, but you do. I think it's that. Use it as motivation, but don't be fooled into thinking that's the way or that's the only way. You know, there's a whole.
there's a reason they say slow and steady wins the race, you know? It's because the
Right?
person that's fucking sprinted is dead before they hit the line. So,
Absolutely.
do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Maybe, I don't know.
I've been in that position though, where it's like I've got Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and Instagram does you that thing where you can share to either one of those platforms automatically, but it doesn't translate. It's a shit version of your post when it goes to Twitter, especially. It doesn't translate at all. And so you want to go on those pages individually, but that turns one post with X amount of hashtags and X amount of a caption into something that would normally take. I mean, honestly, if you are going to Instagram and if you're smart enough to copy and paste your hashtags, which I'm a fucking idiot, I haven't done that yet. But if you do that, you put it in notes, you've got your hashtags, you copy and paste them, and you know that'll save you some time. That still process alone is like 10 minutes, maybe 10 minutes, right? Maybe a little bit less, maybe a little bit more, depending on who you are. But now you take that same post, you put it on Facebook, and then you take that same post and you put it on Twitter. And if you're like me, I've also got the personal account. So I'm taking that same post and I'm putting it on the personal account. That process has turned into damn near a half an hour for one post.
Long.
So there's something going on there that at some point during the ladder and the climb, you've got to kind of reach out to somebody else and go, hey, you want to run this shit for me? Because I think that's what a lot of them are doing.
Yeah, I've got a shoot, buddy. Sorry to end the
No, absolutely.
conversation,
But thank you very
but
much, man. I
I'm
really
going for
appreciate you
now.
taking the time. Where can my listeners find you?
Just Instagram at the JB Podcast, YouTube the JB Podcast, Podbean the JB Podcast. But basically, in short terms, I can send you a link if you want to link it anywhere.
Please.
Which would just be my Linktree link, which has everything on there. So if you want to donate, subscribe to Patreon, YouTube, everywhere, it's all under Linktree. So I'll ping that over to you anyways, and then you can find it. But if you want, we can chat off stream for a couple of minutes because I have got a couple of minutes. But
All right, brother. I
yeah.
appreciate it. Let me stop this recording real quick. But thank you guys so much for tuning into this episode of Where I Belong. Thank you to JB for taking the time to talk to me. As always, you guys can find me on whereibelongpodcast.com. All the links are there. So all my social media, all the videos, all the audio that I've ever done, as well as the Patreon account and the merchandise. So head over to whereibelongpodcast.com. Take advantage of all of that. And as always, thank you for listening. Love you. Bye.